Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Rarious Fundamental Podcast, Episode 8. I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. No one really cares about the guy. What's up, Internet? This is the Rary is Fundamental Podcast, Episode 8, recorded on April the 2nd, 2015. I am your host, Ray Moraldi, also known as Ray Ray. What is up, guys? So, WrestleMania 31 has just passed, and as some of you people already know, I watch wrestling. Why do I watch wrestling? Because it's entertaining, and simple as that. Just like you people are entertained by other things such as zombies, crime mysteries, reality show train wrecks, or hell, other sports. And the funny thing is that wrestling is such a stigma. A lot of people think you're incredibly silly for watching wrestling, and people say it's garbage, and people over 12 shouldn't watch it because it's quote-unquote fake. And you know what? We're not idiots. Of course it's quote-unquote fake. In fact, we've known this for a long time. But you know what? It's fun to watch. Yeah, we know they're not actually hurt. Well, more on that later. But one punch can knock you out in real life, and they throw 10 of them and they're not bleeding. So yes, we get it. It's also the closest thing you can get to seeing a Street Fighter game in real life. And they have soap opera elements, and it's entertaining as hell. But you know what else is quote-unquote fake? The Walking Dead, Scandal, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. Hey, sorry to break it to you, but hobbits really don't exist in real life. And there aren't real life stormtroopers. They don't really exist. But we're not going to make fun of you for investing your time and energy into something that you like, which is what people seem to do to others who like professional wrestling. See, professional wrestling does actually hurt. One move can mess you up in real life. Former football player Darren Drozdov, known as Droz, was paralyzed after a botch move. Tom Billington, known as the Dynamite Kid, is in a wheelchair. And Chris Benoit, whose name is taboo in WWE, had tons of concussions that messed him up. Messed up his brain, and he ended up murdering his family before he ended up killing himself. So, lots of bad things happen in professional wrestling, and they actually do get hurt. Not to mention the constant travel and the wear and tear on your body by getting sound on man about 4 or 5 times a week. So, all that stuff, it adds up. And if you think it's quote-unquote fake, I suggest you try it. You try getting slammed on the mat 4 or 5 times a week. You try to get slammed about 25 times in a span of like 5 minutes or so. You know? Sure. The match is predetermined. We get that. You know what's also predetermined? So are scripts for television and movies. You know? So, yeah, the physicality is pretty damn real. And you know who else, and to those people who make fun of professional wrestling, some of you guys throw tantrums when your favorite sports team doesn't win. And that's pretty silly as is. And when you think about it, I can make sports sound silly. How about 10 guys who run up and down the court trying to put a round orange thing through a hoop? You know what I mean? That sounds silly. And I make a living writing about that. So, there you go. Oh yeah. Shout out to that idiot Colin Coward who went out of his way to say he doesn't watch professional wrestling because he likes lady parts or something. And number one, I'll reiterate, Colin Coward, you're an idiot. Two, trying to insult people by insinuating some dudes are gay for watching wrestling is stupid. There is nothing wrong with being gay. Three, I watch wrestling, and if you like wrestling, you're missing out on tough and beautiful ladies like Paige, the Bella Twins, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Alicia Fox, Charlotte, all beautiful ladies, and all tougher than you, Colin Coward. So shut the hell up. Now, I'm going to talk professional wrestling with an old friend, Glenn Moore, who transitioned from talking about professional sports to professional wrestling, which is, by the way, an athletic event. And if you don't like wrestling, well, what can I tell you? But we also talk about basketball for like 5 minutes. Consolation prize? I guess so. Scratch!
On the line, my old friend. He is now the host of the This Is Awesome Wrestling podcast. And he's everywhere in the sports world. You've seen his work on ESPN, Sports Illustrated, and he was mostly on Cleveland.com. Glenn Moore, you are everywhere, sir. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Just loving my tan from NorCal and loving the sunshine out there, and came out here to Cleveland to cold weather and possibly snow. So I'm happy, though, and always a joy to talk to you, buddy.
We'll get to WrestleMania in a bit, but I was just reminiscing about Blogs of Balls 2009, and what do you remember from that day?
Oh, geez. I remember doing our – because I did a live show with my buddy from there.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of people on. I remember after the show getting yelled at because we were too loud. And we were talking too loud, and we were interfering with the panelists. So we got yelled at, and I don't know why, but I'm like, you should have came over and told us to keep quiet during the show. I also remember the drinking competition between, I think it was Michael and Jimmy, I think.
Jimmy.
And there's video of that somewhere online on YouTube. I have video of it somewhere. Of them drinking Guinness and Michael dapping out. I think he it was bad. But
oh my god,
that was a great time. That's almost 6 years ago, man.
I know. Geez. That was the first time we met.
Yes,
that's why I'm remembering this, and I'm just like, wow, like that was a long time ago.
Man.
It was good times. Have you been to Blogs of Balls since then?
No, they've been out like with Vegas and then Texas. They've been pretty much all over Chicago, but I think there's one coming up.
Yeah, that's right. I think Chicago, I believe, right?
Yeah,
so.
They're going back to Chicago. Yeah, so, I mean, I talked to some of the guys, and I may take a trip out there, but if not, you know, I'm not going to cry over it. But it would be nice to see everybody if everybody went.
Right. Yeah, so you're doing a wrestling podcast now. Is this your first love?
You know what? I've taken on the sports world here in Cleveland. I've done that, you know, podcasts with sports and Cleveland centric stuff. And then, you know, I believe I was into sports before wrestling, but I think wrestling has a unique audience and a very, very loyal fan base. And, you know, we started doing this podcast back in October, and we've had, you know, Seth Rollins on the show, Jerry the King Lawler, EC3. Kevin Owens, Sasha Banks. We just had Miz, Mark Henry, Heath Slater, Bo Dallas. So the list goes on, and a bunch of independent guys as well. And we just keep blowing up downloads wise. So it is blowing up, and we got a sponsor, Weber Grill, to fly us out to San Fran to cover WrestleMania. So that was awesome. So I mean, it's continuing to grow, and this has grown faster than any other sports thing I've done. So I've been loving it, and you could be right. I mean, I think it is my first love, and I hope to advance this and, you know, maybe cover wrestling a little bit more.
Did you want to be a professional wrestler?
You know what? You know, right? It's never too late, because one of the guys –
You're still a young guy,
yeah,
right?
I'm 31, but I mean – there's actually a wrestling school here in Cleveland that I may actually try to go and see. It's twice a week. It's let's say they teach you everything, and they have their own promotion. They have shows once a week, and I may try my hand on it and then see if it it goes well. Then I'll blog about it. I'll do shows. I'll do video photos. So I'll document it and see if the average Joe can make it as a professional wrestler.
Just for the heck of it, right?
I feel like if I turn 50 years old and I say I never tried it, I'm going to regret it. So if I go and try and I suck, I can say I still tried. If I go and try,
yeah, there you go,
and I'm pretty good, then I can, you know, pursue it. But I feel like if I don't go for it, then I'm going to be, you know, regretting it when I turn, you know, 45, 50. It's too late.
Mm-hmm. Do you miss covering professional sports? Or are you going to go back into it at some point?
You know, if the right job opens up to me to do it, I would think about it. It's nice to step away, because I feel like I've been doing it for 6 years, and
right,
you learn so much of the negative stuff behind the scenes with these teams that, you know, teams that I was fans of growing up. You learn all the nasty stuff, and then you kind of get turned off. You don't want to spend your hard-earned money to go watch these teams play, because you realize all the nasty. I realize that every organization is like that. But when you cover your hometown team, teams that you grew up watching, and you meet players that are, you know, douchebags, players that you idolized growing up, it kind of puts a bad taste in your mouth. So it's, I would be open to it, but I'm pretty happy doing what I'm doing with the wrestling podcast, and we're starting to blow up, and you know, but I would never say never, but I mean, I do miss it sometimes, but then again, I don't miss all the politics.
Right. Let's talk about WrestleMania. Man, what a WrestleMania that was, right? What do you think was the best part of that show?
Oh, man, that was probably one of the best WrestleManias. I mean, I've been to the last four? I've been to five total. I've been to WrestleMania 18 back when I was a kid, but that one was...
18.
The only thing that I probably would change with the whole night would be, you know, I know you got to have one at the West Coast, and it was an open-air stadium, but the whole sun kind of killed the whole vibe, if it was like in an arena or a dome, just like when Sting came out in Triple H. You know, it wasn't dark. It didn't have that kind of spooky vibe with, like, Bray Wyatt and Undertaker. If that's the only thing I'm kind of upset about, then it was a pretty good pay-per-view. I think every match... Every match told a story, and then the ending was great. Love Seth Rollins. I've talked to him a few times. He's a great guy, and I love how they changed it during the show that he was going to win the title. He didn't know he was going to until like halfway through the pay-per-view. So I mean, it was great, and I thought it was a perfect ending and a perfect way to end WrestleMania with Seth Rollins on top.
Talk about the main event. Why do you think people turn on Roman Reigns?
I think that's interesting because, you know, people have been booing. The hardcore fans do not like to be told who to cheer for and who to root for. And when you do that and when you shove Roman Reigns down our throats, when you have The Rock come out because they feel like we're not going to boo The Rock if he's out there with Roman Reigns, that still happened. You have Paul Heyman and all these guys put Roman Reigns over, they boo that. I think it's just a matter of him not excelling on the mic, and they are just forcing us to like this guy. I think he's going to be a heel. I mean, I think he's better as a bad guy. He's and in NXT, he was a bad guy, and he was great. But I think it's just because they're trying to force it down our throats, and they realize that, and that's why they have Seth Rollins win, because they feel like Roman Reigns has to be a good guy, but he can't be a good guy now because the fans are just going to boo him every single time he comes out.
The funny thing is that when he was with The Shield, which is one thing that WWE has ever done, he was well-liked, probably the most well-liked out of all the three at the time.
Yeah, I mean, he was a big guy. He was, you know, he was the quiet one, but he had, you know, a big, you know, he would do all the big power moves, and people loved that. But I think, I mean, in my eyes, I always thought that he was the third guy out of the Shield. I always liked Ambrose and Rollins more than Reigns, but, you know, Reigns has the look. You know, Reigns has the bloodline, you know, with a family of guys that have done well in the business. And like I said, he has the look of a, you know, typical WWE superstar. So I think it's a matter of forcing it down our throats, but, you know, I think in time, maybe he'll, you know, turn into a bad guy and people will accept that more than, you know, trying to make him out to be the next John Cena.
We mentioned Dean Ambrose. He looks so lost out there in the shuffle at the moment. What do you think needs to be done?
You know, I think he's just waiting. And this is what I would love to see. I would love to see Rollins, you know, obviously go through a program with Randy Orton, which is going to happen. And then lead up to SummerSlam, have a triple threat match for the title, Ambrose, Rollins, and Reigns. Have a Shield triple threat for the title. I think they're waiting for the perfect feud for Ambrose because, like you said, he does seem lost in the shuffle. But I think overall, I think you're just waiting for Orton and Rollins to go to finish their feud. And then you're going to probably see Ambrose and Rollins go at each other. Because remember when Ambrose said, whenever you cash in the Money in the Bank, I'm going to be there to make sure you can't cash it in. Well, he was hurt, not real, but he was, you know, taken out during the ladder match, and he couldn't interfere. So I think they're going to go back to that and see what they can do to Ambrose versus Rollins. I think they're going to have some great matches, and hopefully that happens in the next couple of months.
Right. So let's talk about Sting and Triple H, that match. I thought it was a little overbooked. It didn't make sense because NWO never really helped Sting in the past. And it was weird to me, but it seemed like people liked it because of the fun nostalgia. What do you think?
You know what? I was kind of scratching my head too. Like, the whole thing about WCW was not was Sting versus NWO for so many years. That was yeah. a made feud. Him versus yeah. Hogan. I understand yeah. the DX coming out to help Triple H. I get that. Our HBK coming out. Then you have NWO, which I thought there since Hall and Nash are friends with Triple H, that they were going to turn and they were going to beat up Sting. It's going to be a free for all on Sting. And then maybe have like Booker T come out and like have some WCW guys come out. But to have Sting with NWO when NWO was against WCW for so long, it would kind of scratch my head. But I think the whole premise was before the WWE versus WCW, the Monday Night Wars, kind of having that play out. But I think the one piece that was missing, right, was having Ric Flair come out to Sting's aid when HBK mm-hmm. came out, having Flair come out. That would have been probably the icing on the cake, but didn't happen. But I think it was pretty cool. But that in the end, I think I hope Sting comes back for a few more matches, because if that's his only match, I'll be pretty disappointed.
Yeah, he looked pretty good out there for 56 years old, right?
He didn't look bad. He looked in shape. He moved around well. You know, I don't think anybody was expecting these guys to go 20 minutes of, you know, great. You know, wrestling on the mat and doing some awesome moves. I think it was more of a gimmick match. But, you know, I could see him, you know, him and Undertaker going at it next year, you know, for 15, 20 minutes and him having a great build up. But he did pretty well, you know, for stepping in the first time at WrestleMania. I'm sure he was nervous, but I think he looked great and he did pretty well.
What about Daniel Bryan? People still love him. Pretty much still the most popular wrestler on the roster right now.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan is still over big time, and I love how they gave the title to him, and then they had John Cena win the United States title, because then you have two major guys having these titles that could bring some prestige back to the titles, because you probably can't name me the last five Intercontinental champions. You probably can't name me the last five U.S. champions, because it's been such a lost title. But now with these guys having these titles, I think it's great to have Daniel Bryan have the Intercontinental title, and you can do some feuds. You know, Sheamus is back. A feud with Sheamus. It just brings some more matchups, and I think it brings the title back to some notoriety, especially with Seth Rollins with the main title, with the heavyweight title. You have three guys that are bona fide superstars with the three titles. It's just going to make these shows a lot better.
I know Daniel Bryan won at WrestleMania 30, but why do you think that WWE is so reluctant to put Daniel Bryan at top?
Well, I think it's, he's coming off a major injury. You know, you don't want to give him the title again and he gets injured and then have to take it away again. I've heard they're really worried about his neck and the wear and tear, but he is still way over. I don't think it's I think now maybe you can, like, possibly give him a program with, like, Rollins. I would love to see Bryan and Rollins.
Yes.
Go at it.
That would be great.
But I don't think it was anything believable if you have Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar one-on-one and then have Bryan win. It's just not believable. The way they did it with Rollins was perfect, because he snuck up from behind. Lesnar was busted open. That's the way he wins the title. With Bryan, there's no way that you can book anything that would make Bryan go over Brock Lesnar cleanly. But I think now you could possibly put him on him, you know, later this year. But I think it's great to give him the IC title. It brings, you know, the eyes back to the title, and you can have some great matches with him and Ziggler, him and Sheamus, him and Wade Barrett. There could be some great matches with those guys.
I love what they're doing with Brock Lesnar. He's just a super overpowered guy on the roster. It's like you can't hurt him. And he actually bleeds in the main event of WrestleMania 31. What do you think about that? Like, that's so awesome how he's just, like, he can't hurt him. He's indestructible.
Yeah, I think it was great when and I know they're not, you know, they don't do blood anymore, and they're PG, and they hate the whole you know, they don't let guys, you know, blade anymore. And but, you know, Brock was legitimately busted open by the ring. And he, I think it added to the whole effect, like, wow, this guy's human. He's bleeding. He's not a machine. I think it added to the whole aura of the match. And then you had Rollins come out and take advantage. But, dude, Brock is, I'm so glad he re-signed with WWE, because the WWE needs that monster. They need that guy that, you know, every time he goes out, that he's probably going to win, unless something, you know, from behind comes up or sneaks up or, you know, a swerve or something. And he is just a badass to where he can take out anybody, anytime, no matter what. And then having Paul Heyman as his mouthpiece, I mean, that's just a perfect combo. And it kind of brings me back to Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, he was like the bad guy, but he was such a bad guy that everybody loved him. And everybody's starting to love Brock Lesnar for F5ing Michael Cole and taking out the announce team and doing all of this. And I know he's not going to be on TV every week, and, you know, he's limited appearances, but, you know, suspending him is a perfect storyline for him, because he gets to go away for a while to rest up, and then he can come back at the perfect time. And, you know, hey, I wouldn't mind him Lesnar coming back for Money in the Bank, being in that match, and then winning the Money in the Bank, and then having Seth Rollins scared as hell every time he hears Brock Lesnar's music come out. That would be awesome.
That would be great. But never seen an overpowered character like Lesnar. Like, Austin at least lost a few matches, and Hogan even lost, like, to the Genius back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, he's indestructible. He hasn't been pinned since when Cena pinned him, like, a few years ago. But other than that, it's like, he can't hurt the guy. At least he can't hurt his character.
But I think that...
It's so...
Yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I'm saying I think they need a guy like that, a guy that never loses. Or if he does lose, it's you know, through a sneak attack or something like that, or a swerve. But, yeah, I mean, I think that WWE needs that monster. And he's not there every week, so it's not like he's just going to, you know, one wild every week on Raw, you know, F5ing everybody. He comes back at the perfect time, lays his mark. He's had some great matches. I mean, Undertaker match. I know Undertaker was concussed. Winning the title against Cena. He's in great shape. He's going to be around for a few more years, and he's not going to, you know, wear out from travel or wrestling every week. WWE needs Brock Lesnar, and it just adds some, you know, WWE to be a little bit legit because of the whole monster angle. And, you know, everybody who loves UFC that loves Lesnar is going to tune in to watch anyway. So it just brings, you know, more eyes to WWE.
Mm-hmm. Quick prediction, who beats him?
Lesnar?
Yeah.
Jeez. You know what? I don't think Lesnar's going to have the title until, like, next year. But I'm going to say that the next person to beat Brock Lesnar will be The Rock at WrestleMania 32.
The Rock. That makes sense.
You're going to have Rock versus Brock, and then you're going to, maybe for the title, maybe The Rock has the title, maybe Brock Lesnar does get the title back, but I think the next loss for Lesnar will be against The Rock at WrestleMania. But then again, you can't see the Brock losing two WrestleManias in a row. That's a tough question, because I think The Rock is the only believable guy that could probably beat Lesnar, and that's a good question. But I think we're so far away from that it's hard to predict, but I'm going to go Rock.
I'm just having a hard time thinking that he's going to be beat by something simple like a rock bottom. It has to be like 10 rock bottoms or something like that to beat the guy. You know what I mean? Because he's so overpowered as a character.
Five rock bottoms and five people's elbows and maybe a sharpshooter. Something. It's going to take an overabundance of finishers to finish off Brock Lesnar.
Considering like Roman Reigns took like four F5s. Jeez, like that was just amazing.
Yeah, it was a great match.
We're going to talk more professional wrestling with Glenn Moore when we come back from this promo and this break song.
It's Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and I was once on the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast. Once. That was enough.
We'll be right back.
Here is the second half of my interview with Glenn Moore, where we talk about more half-naked muscular men play fighting. Yeah, professional wrestling. Here we go.
Let's talk about NXT, which has been my favorite part of the WWE the last year or so. Man, so why do you think NXT works?
You know, I was at NXT when they came here to Cleveland, and it was a small crowd. It was like 500 people, and it was an old, rundown theater here in Cleveland, and it has that like ECW like cult following, like, and it's nothing like hardcore wrestling, but it's like legitimate, great wrestling, and you have the right mixture of wrestlers. And I know Vince hates that word, but it's just great wrestling. There's not even any storylines. There isn't like any big promos or like long storylines. It's just guys going out there having great matches. And I think that it's different than having Raw, because Raw is so drawn out. But then again, the matches are so condensed. With NXT, they're given the freedom to do what they want and to have the kind of matches they want. And I think the fans see that. There's some great wrestlers, and you know the women's wrestling is great. Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, Bayley. I mean, these girls are just fantastic wrestlers, and they put on a heck of a show when they go out there. I just think that it goes with the wrestling, and it goes with these guys, Triple H allowing these guys to go out there and do whatever they want and put their own matches together. And it just, you know, I think it comes back to Triple H, and it goes back to, you know, them having the freedom to do what they want. But it's awesome to watch. It's awesome to attend. And if that's the future of the WWE, then I'm pretty excited, because these guys always steal the show.
Yeah, and they basically tell their stories in the ring. The thing about NXT is that it's mentioned as a developmental company, a developmental brand, but they got the best indie stars in there now. Kevin Owens used to be Kevin Steen. Finn Balor used to be Prince Devitt. Obviously, Sami Zayn was in the indies, and so was Adrian Neville. And, of course, Hideo Itami, who was Kenta in Japan. So, like, isn't this really a separate brand now at this point?
I don't think it's a separate brand. I mean, I know they're billing it as developmental, but, you know, these guys aren't going to, you know, have their own TV show on regular TV anytime soon. You know, they're just going to be on the network. But I think that's the mentality that they need to have, is that they just don't they can be a valuable option for fans to watch wrestling, you know, on a weekly basis on the WWE Network. And if they want their fix of real wrestling and matches that are not, you know, too condensed or quick, that they can turn to NXT and watch. And for these guys to get over and maybe possibly make it to the main roster, like we saw Neville make his debut on Raw, which I think is great. I love Neville. I think they need to have the mentality like, hey, you know, we're not just here in the minor leagues. Like, we're having great matches, and we're going to compete against Raw. And when we're ready, we're going to go on the main roster and not just be a jobber, but we're going to make an impact. And Kevin Owens is my favorite. And I predict Kevin Owens is going to win the title, WWE title, before this year is over. That guy is just a beast himself. And he has risen to the top so quickly, and Triple H loves him. That guy, when he makes his main roster debut, I'm going to be marking out myself, because that guy is truly very, very talented for a big guy. And me, myself being a big guy, that's why I like him too.
So you mentioned Kevin Owens. I love his character. Like, he goes in there.
He made
his presence felt, saying, I'm going to fight anybody. And he comes in as a face. And then later on in the show, in our Evolution takeover, he turns on Sami Zayn and wins the title 2 months later, and he's just a total jerk. He's not one of those cool heels like the NWO and DX back in the day. He's just a jerk. He plays it so well.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to dislike him so much, because he plays it so well, and you're like, this guy's awesome. But he plays a perfect role. He is a bigger guy. You know, he has that bully, you know, kind of look to him. He's a bully. He's a straight bully. That's all he backs up in the ring. He has some unique, you know, move sets. You know, he's a big guy, but he can do a cannonball into the corner, or he can do, you know, a running power. I mean, it's just so many stuff that he can do that, you know, other big guys, you know, can't do. He's so athletic. But he has the whole persona. And like I said, I mean, he can make his debut on the roster, and he can almost have that kind of, you know, Brock Lesnar feel to him, because he can, He can dominate anybody, anytime. He's a fighter, and he has that kind of, you know, pissed off mentality, just like Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. And I like his reasoning about, like, winning the title and fighting anybody. It's like, oh, this is for my family. And it's like he doesn't even realize how much of a jerk he's being, you know?
Yeah.
So little things like that, like after his matches, Alex Riley, Finn Balor saves Alex, and then on his way out, he stomps Alex Riley one more time. Those are the little things I love in a jerk, in a wrestling heel, basically. So hopefully he rises to the top really quickly in Raw or SmackDown. Anyone else that you like in NXT besides Kevin Owens? Neville, obviously.
You know, I liked Neville when he was down there. I love Finn Balor. He's great. Who else? Enzo is also terrific. Those are probably the main ones on NXT roster. I love Sasha Banks. I had a chance to interview her for our podcast, and she is just a sweetheart in person. You know, also Kevin Owens, I interviewed him. He was a good interview. But those are the main guys that come to my mind for NXT, and I'm looking forward to seeing Finn Balor all painted up for a Raw debut coming out to his entrance, because that's going to be pretty awesome to see. But Owens, Balor, Neville when he was down there, and Enzo, you know, and those are the guys that come to my mind when it comes to guys I'm looking forward to see make their main roster debuts.
You know, that's another overpowered character that I just noticed also, Finn Balor, when he wears his war paint, basically. It's like suddenly he can't lose either.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting as well.
It is. I mean, when he's out there, I mean, when he comes out, it's just a whole spectacle of it. And I think people want, like, every single time for him to come out to that. But, I mean, that's a lot of work for painting. So, I mean, but I would love to see, like, a WrestleMania, like, him come out to WrestleMania like that. That would be pretty good. Oh, Hideo Itami is good. And Tyler Breeze. Well, you know, those two guys are great wrestlers. They have some great gimmicks. You know, Hideo Itami was in the Battle Royal, you know, for a WrestleMania. But all these guys were indie guys. All these guys, if you look at Seth Rollins, you know, he was in NXT. But, like, Seth Rollins wrestled a lot here in Cleveland. And there's video of him, you know, years ago wrestling in front of 15 people in a rundown theater and trying to get these people to clap, and they're not clapping. And then fast forward, like 10 years later, this guy is, you know, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania. It's like every indie wrestler's dream come true. And it's like all these indie guys, it's like an all-star cast of indie wrestlers at NXT that, hey, you know, all these guys are capable of doing that and following the same path. And it's kind of interesting to see who steps up. And I think it makes WWE's that much better to having that drive and desire to have these guys have great matches and, you know, hopefully make it to WrestleMania themselves.
You mentioned that the future is bright for WWE, but as much as WWE looks good right now after WrestleMania, it tends to go on a downhill spiral after WrestleMania. And for a while, there were flounder storylines. So, what do you think needs to be fixed with WWE?
Ooh, needs to be fixed. Well, I think they started with, you know, putting the titles on three main guys. But I think that this needs a cleansing of jobbers. And, you know, I was at WrestleCon this past weekend, and, you know, it features a lot of wrestlers that are not on the main roster, guys that got fired by WWE, older guys that are, like, legends contracts, like Nash, and you also have, like, Ric Flair come out. But, like, you have guys that got fired by WWE. And so, like, after WrestleMania, they always fire, like, 10 people. They always get rid of, like, 10 wrestlers. And it's like, who on this roster right now is going to be at WrestleCon 2016? And it's like, the obvious answer probably has to be, like, Zack Ryder.
I love Zack Ryder.
I love Zack Ryder, too, but, like, and he's a good friend. But, like, he could possibly let go. But, like, I think this needs to be, like, cleansed of, like, guys that they have no use for, and bringing in some NXT guys to, like, kind of round out the roster, and not having all these wasted talent and quick matches. And I think you need to give the Divas division the whole makeover. You know, bring up Sasha Banks, bring up Charlotte Flair. You know, girls are going to have some great matches. You know, I think it's too early to tell, but, like, having Daniel Bryan and Cena, you know, face some new people to for the title, and, you know, Randy Orton versus Rollins. I mean, I think it's a good first step, but I think you need to stretch the matches out, bring some new talent in, some new matchups, and then overdo the whole Divas division with some new faces. But I think that's pretty it. I mean, I think I'm happy with how WrestleMania turned out, and I'm just kind of cringing at who gets fired and who stays, because I would love to see Ryder stay, but then again, he has been used in so long that he could be on his way out.
You think they blew it with Ryder? I think they blew it with him. What do you think?
I think they did too. You know, he was so over. He won this title match in 2011 against Ziggler. They had some great matches. And the character wasn't going stale. You know, I think it was Zach trying to, like, he didn't want to be the funny, goofy LI guy. He wanted to be something more serious. Because he tried that, and then, you know, fans were buying it. I think he made a mistake himself. And they tried to go back to it, and then it was too late. And when he comes out once in a while, he still gets a big reaction, but there's just nothing to do, you know, for him anymore. And it's sad, because I think he's a great wrestler, but, like, it comes down to, like, what do you do with Zack Ryder? Do you give him a title belt again? Do you give him a run? But, like, you got to take someone out of the picture, too. And I think there's so many people at the top that, you know, it would take a lot for Ryder to get a chance again. I think they pass up on it, and it's going to ultimately lead to, you know, Ryder's demise from the WWE, which is pretty sad.
So what do you think if – it's probably not going to happen, but what if Raw just takes out their third hour and just make it 2 hours again?
That will never – that will probably never happen, because they have two –
probably not, but I mean
– you know, there's too many guys on there now. There's sponsors. They plug the app every 5 seconds. I mean, yeah, it's like maybe it was like 2.5 hours. That would be perfect. But like 3 hours is way too long. I think 2 hours is too short. But you just don't have, like, I mean, back when it was 2 hours, you had like an all-star cast. Like even The Godfather was like getting big pops. Like and Val Venus, you know, mid-card guys. And like now, the mid-card guys are like, you know, there's so many of them, you have to give them more time. It would be just, I think it would be too hard. You'll have to cut out, like, so much of a two-hour show that I think would hurt all these guys, mid-card guys like Ambrose and Ziggler and even Bryan, you know, guys like that, their time would be cut. And then you would see more of, you know, Lesnar and more of Cena, and, you know, I think people get sick of that, more of Reigns. And I 3 hours, I think it's, like I said, too much, but 2 hours seems too little. It's just, it's hard to make everybody happy.
What is the dream match that you want to see, past and present wrestlers?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, geez. So you mean past as in they've passed back away?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. Like, it could be Steamboat. It could be anybody.
Geez. I would love to see Macho Man, if he was still alive, Macho Man go up against, I would say, like a Macho Man versus even like a Brock Lesnar. Kind of like either like a Hogan in his prime versus Lesnar. Somebody like that versus, like, I know Hogan faced Lesnar back when Hogan was, like, old, but, like, Hogan back in his prime. Or even just, like, I think a guy like Scott Hall, like, taking on, like, when he was Razor Ramon, taking a guy like on, like, today would be, like, maybe, like, a Ambrose or even, like, Reigns. Like, something like that. Like, I just love the 80s and 90s wrestling, and having him, like, wrestle like Cena, or like, I think that would be so cool. But I think my ultimate match would be like Macho Man versus like Brock Lesnar. I love Macho Man, and I also love Lesnar. I think that would probably be a match that would probably they can go on for like an hour. That would be great.
Yeah. What's your favorite match of all time?
Rock Hogan. Rock Hogan.
Love that match.
in Toronto, I was there to see it live, and just the whole story of, like, the Hogan going from Hollywood to back to Hulk Hogan, and then The Rock was great. It was just a great, great match in front of that awesome crowd. I don't think we've seen anything like it since, and I don't think we'll see anything like it ever again, but that match is terrific. Wrestling fans, the whole aura of WrestleMania, that's probably one of the great matches. Also, Steamboat versus Macho Man, that was a great match as well, but I'm biased because I was there for Hulk Hogan, and I had to tip my hat to that one.
I can't let you go without talking a little bit of basketball really quick. So what are the Cavs' chances to win the title this year?
You know what? I would say earlier it would have been slim, but like now, the way they're playing, and LeBron's not even in playoff mode yet. I would say if I was a betting man, I would say the Cavs are probably top three to win the title. Do I think they're going to win it? I don't think they will this year. I think they will next year. And I've said that before, even before the season started. Yeah. I don't think they're going to win this year. I think they're winning next year. But I think they can make a deep run in the playoffs. But it's going to be tough with LeBron. I think this is going to go back to LeBron trying to carry this team on his own, because that's what LeBron does. And I think that may hurt the Cavs down the road. But it's going to be up to Kyrie. Kevin Love, I don't think he's going to be back next year. He's not happy here. Doesn't want to be in Cleveland. If he does stay here for another year, it's for the money more than anything else. But I heard he wants to go back to L.A. and hopefully team up with Russell Westbrook and the Lakers. Yeah. I've heard that plenty of times. Like I said, he's not happy here, but that, you know, Kevin Love too is a big a guy that has to kind of switch up what he's been doing. But it's going to take. I think it's going to take another year of gelling if all three stay. If Love stays with LeBron and Kyrie, and I think next year they win the title. But this year, I don't think they have enough to win. This year, they make a deep run, but not get close to the title.
I still think they can make the finals. I mean, all it is right now is the Hawks and the Cavs at this point. I don't see anyone being better than those two in the East.
Yeah, so. You know, but there's some intriguing matchups. Like even if the Cavs play Miami. In the first round, if Miami ends up like a 7, a Cavs or 2, they play tonight here in Cleveland. But, you know, that could be something to watch because of Miami and the whole LeBron angle and everything like that. But other than that, I mean, I think, like, it's Toronto doesn't scare me. Chicago doesn't scare me. The Wizards, you know, are dangerous, some, you know, here and there where they want to be. Atlanta, are they a flash in the pan or are they legit title contenders? I don't think they are legit title defenders. I think it'd be a great series between Atlanta and Cleveland, but I don't think Atlanta even makes it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think you're right. I think the finals for the Cavs is definitely a possibility. But can they beat Golden State? Can they beat Memphis? You know, can they beat Houston in a 7-game series? I just don't see it.
Yeah, Glenn. It's been a pleasure. Let's do this again sometimes for more wrestling and I guess some basketball talk, right?
Yes, sir. Anytime. We didn't talk about your Lakers, buddy.
I know. God, well, they're terrible. What's there to talk about? They're so bad.
Oh, they're terrible. But, yeah, I mean,
they are horrible.
It's always a pleasure talking with you, wrestling and awesome, some basketball. And, you know, I'm glad you're switching up your the branding of your podcast, man. You're stretching out the your arms for more topics and more interviews, man.
Yes, sir. Remember, this is Awesome Wrestling Podcast. Check it out.
This is Zach Harper of CBSSports.com. You're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean.
Thank you so much to Glenn Moore for providing his wrestling knowledge. But he pretty much knows every sport. I am so glad for his success. He has come a long way since I've known him in that Blocks of Balls convention in 2009. I still don't know what happened on that Saturday night, but that's another story for another day. Follow Glenn Moore on Twitter at GlennMooreCLE. Yes, he's from Cleveland, Ohio. And go to moreglenn.com for more of his work, including his This Is Awesome Wrestling Podcast. Now, don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at rayray.net. There is a hyphen between the rays. Shout out to all the wrestlers who put their bodies on the line every single time they go into that ring. Thanks for entertainment. A special shout out to my boy TJ Perkins, who is known as Manic on TNA Impact Wrestling. I hope to have him on this particular show soon. He was on my basketball podcast a few times in the past. Gal Pal Squad, thanks for taking care of me. Everybody, please take care of yourselves. And just remember that Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Glenn Moore from Cleveland, Ohio, the host of the This Is Awesome Wrestling Show, and you're tuned in to Ray Ray is Fundamental, probably the best podcast on the West Coast, if not the whole USA.
You flatter me, Glenn.
Game over here! Molded.